founded a company called Fossil Systems, and we create a oral surgical simulator for dental students to train on surgery without harming any patient. So, we'll show you in a minute.
No, you can use this one. Yeah, I think it's easier because I haven't tested it.
So this is what we created. It started as my master thesis project at KTH, or the Institute of Technology in Stockholm, which are now finalized. It consists of a robot arm that gives you force feedback, and you have 3D glasses, and you look at the mirrored image, and you can hold your arm and carve into a virtual environment and feel haptic force feedback when you're doing your carving. And this project began together with the Karolinska Institute, because they were very interested to have the ability to show their students how to do this procedure and let them do some training before they come and train on patients. And what is our current plan is to create a whole product out of this and sell it on the open market. And our time schedule is very limited. We're planning to have more end-user studies in February and then launch some product in May 2009. And to do that, we want to collaborate more with larger society and larger research society. We have already gotten some interest from other research projects around the world in this. And as we strongly believe in this collaboration effort, we are today also releasing the whole code base for this project as free and open source software on the GNU GPL license. So, the first package for SIM001.rgzeta you can download, and if you happen to have a haptic device, which is what people don't have, you can start drilling on some example data and feed force feedback on that. You can do some real-time volume rendering of, in this case, example data of a foot that you can see and carve into. And this is a lightning speak. I can't go into details, but there is a new haptic device that you can that is built for game industry. And I'm looking forward for the drivers for this to be fully developed. They are approaching a beta drivers right now for Linux. This device, although we are not going to use that in the simulator, it can be used for everyone who is interested in trying out this technology in haptic force feedback in general. But even if you don't have any device or anyone, you can try out our on the platform. So please, questions. It's more currently just like free form deformation carving.
Okay.
So.
Like, so there will be no gore and splatter effects with blood.
Well, when we add it, there will be, of course. Yeah. When we work very close with the surgeons and done some observations and interviews Well, what they express is that they don't need these kind of features. They are not that important. So the most important is to know where to carve and how much, and not to damage the nerve and things like that.
So this is only practicing software, not like connected to a real robot that so you can operate on distance or whatever. Is that relevant something?
The software used in research are some same technology, but this is the sort of the client side in that case. So it can be used. It can also be used for pre-surgical training. So you take a CT scan of a 3D X-ray image, and you load it into the simulator and train on it before you go into surgery. If anyone has any question later, we'll be around.
My name is Thomas Steiner, and I'm going to give a short presentation about wireless network. First, I want to start with some examples. There are now quite big networks in bigger cities. The first example I choose is from Vienna, since I'm living in Vienna, that's the most obvious. And there's another example, it's from Athens, it's one of the biggest networks, wireless networks in Europe, somewhere around here is Athens, so it's going already over the city borders. Why all that labs works, the conferences about free software, free culture, and what the networks are about, and what I want to talk about is we have also free infrastructure. Normally, so today nobody wants to live without internet, and everybody wants to be connected. And so we need all the big internet service provider to get our connections. But this, in some cases, doesn't work the way the people want to have it. So that's the reason why all these big networks coming up. If I go back to Athens, there was a problem. They simply didn't have any good internet service provider. They didn't have broadband internet access throughout the whole city. There have just been some special points where internet access was available. So a big group emerged out of that, and they decided, okay, we have a problem, we don't have internet, we want to have internet, so we want to have a solution for that. And that's the reason why they are building this big network. And I think it's also a good idea to be somehow independent from some big companies operating big networks, because especially nowadays it's going in the direction of security and observability. The government tries to force the providers to provide information what is transmitted in the networks and who is doing what and so on. And the nice thing about the free network is there's no company behind this, so it's easier to shift around all these regulations. I just know it for sure from Austria. In Austria, the bigger internet service provider have to provide some information to the government, or at least make the possibility to provide them. But if you're just a small group, which is not a company, you're not falling under this regulation, so basically you can do whatever you want. And I think that's a good thing. The point about these networks is that they are organized a bit different than what most of you, I guess, know under wireless LAN. If you're like in a university, a lot of access points distributed throughout the building, and everybody connects to one of these networks, to these access points. So there's one person or a group of person setting up the access points, and the rest can connect to that one. With these networks, that's an example for that one. We have the access point in the middle, and the three other nodes just connect to that one. The networks I'm talking about, they just don't have that. So there's no infrastructure for that. There's nobody planning where to set out this access point. They're just people deciding, okay, I'm setting up a node, and I want to join these networks, and this node then connects to all the others. And as long as it's there, it's good. If the person decides, I don't want anymore, then yeah, it just disappears. And this fact, so it's just an ad hoc network. That's what it's called. And so the network can be very dynamic. It can change quickly, which is a good thing, and which is also a bad thing, because then you already have stability problems. But as soon as the network is big enough, then you have a lot of nodes, so if just a few of them disappear and come up again, it shouldn't be any problem, because there are lots of other, and the network is still stable. Nevertheless, that's a big challenge for routing protocols, meaning how I'm able to transfer data from one end to the other. At the moment, this is still somehow an open research question in some way, meaning that there's a lot of development going on at the moment. I just picked three examples of routing protocols. the oldest one is OLS R. I think it's, yeah, it's quite old, maybe it's 10 years or something like that. And the others are newer. I think Batman is about, I guess, 5 years or something like that. And Barbara is one of the newest, it's 2 years old. They all have different approaches, and they basically all of them are working. Barbara is proving a theoretical way to work and to give good solution, but since it's that new, there's no, it's not tried out in any big networks. There have just been some setup for small networks, and in that one it's working. And since wireless is not that easy, there are some disadvantages about wireless. If you transfer over cables, also if you transfer over long distance, normally you have the bandwidth of the full cable, and there shouldn't be any problem with that. If you have bigger networks, you have to send your data over multiple hops, and since it's wireless, you have interferences in the networks, meaning that one transmission is disturbing the other one. And so if you go over longer distances, your bandwidth is decreasing. The bad thing is decreasing quite fast. So one point is that you should try to make uplink ports to the internet throughout the internet so that you have over short connection within in the wireless network. Okay, and the last thing that I want to talk about is somehow my hobby. I'm writing a simulation tool for all these networks. The main aim is that it's possible to test these routing protocols somewhere so that it's easier to develop them. Because the point is, debugging such routing protocols is quite difficult. Because the network, as soon as you deploy them, you just have those distribute out through a city or whatever. And if you have a bug somewhere, then you have to go to all these nodes and repair it there. And if you want to collect debugging information, you also have the problem that all the debugging information is just distributed over lots of nodes. So it's quite a challenge to develop something like that. And the other reason why I'm working in such a simulation tool is that you can do researches on wireless networks more easily than building up and testing there. And also my master thesis is out of that research area, so this is somehow my hobby and what I'm doing at university. Okay, that was quite a brief introduction to wireless networks, and that's from my part. Unless anyone has any question.
Do you use regular commodity hardware to access the network, so do you need special hardware?
To access one of these example networks.
Yeah.
All you need is just a regular wireless LAN router, and you put some special software on it, special in that way that you normally just deploy some Linux, the already a good distribution like OpenWRT or something like that, and you have to install one of these routing algorithms, so that you get part of the network. But apart from that, you don't need any special hardware. And a wireless LAN router, the most common one is one from Linksys, which is used at least in Vienna. It costs about 50 grand, so 500 grand, 50 euros, that's about 500 grand.
What routing protocol are they using in Athens? What routing protocol are they using?
They are mixing. It's a really big network. I think it's about 2,000 nodes or something like that. And in small areas, they are using OLS R. and then they are connected with some Dweller Gateway routing protocols, which are also used in wired networks.
Yeah.
Are there any routing algorithms handling moving access points?
Most of them should, the three I presented here, they are able to cope with that. So in some way, moving is also appearing and disappearing, so they are adjusting to that.
So for example, one lap per child, for example, one lap per child routing, there's a lot of small computers moving around.
Yeah.
Like that. That should also work for this.
It should also work for that, yeah. Thank you very much.
Software line is KDE, but that's something.